B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mez.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mez.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boston needs a three. Do they foul or not? We'll see if they do it on the catch. Not. Tatum makes the catch. Got it off in time. Online, but no good. And the Heat win game one in overtime. Bam Adebayo with a big time rejection and refusal at the rim on that guy, Jason Tatum. A signature defensive moment for him.
Okay, Tatum almost made that, although he traveled, which the league has acknowledged in their two-minute report today that he should have been called for traveling. It's a good point. I didn't even think about it. But the thing that I thought was he almost made that. Just like the similar play against Toronto, where Smart threw it to Tatum, same spot, Smart almost made that. They reversed it yesterday, as it should have been, Smart feeding Tatum, same spot, he almost made that. And they wouldn't have called traveling at the time, so that almost went to the second overtime. But be that as it may, the Bam Adebayo block is the signature play from last night, but that's really not much to talk about. That was just a great individual play by Bam Adebayo, and there's nothing you really second guess. Jason Tatum did the right thing with the ball. He went to the rim. He made the right play. He just got beat by a better play, and I don't know what else there is to discuss about that.
Yeah, I'm still more mad about the Tatum hero shot to
of
end
course.
Regulation
well,
than
so
that block.
No question. This is a way to set up that. What do we complain about, and what is second-guessable, Murray? Go ahead.
Well, I think it was an atrocious night for Brad Stevens more than anything else, a.k.a. the coach for life. You saw zero offensive sets late in the fourth and in the overtime. It was like straight-up lack of anything that resembles an offensive set or a play down the stretch. It's just iso ball from out past the three, and that's fundamentally poor, lazy basketball. And that's either how Brad Stevens wanted it, or his star players, specifically Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker, they ignored him. Either way, that's not good.
I can't imagine Stevens wants it that way. I just can't imagine based on everything he's preached and said since he got here. So I think they're just freezing up.
But he's not absolved.
No, he's not. They don't take him seriously then? No, he's not. But at the same time, Murray, I've always said it's a players' league.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, to me, the players, you know, have to execute. And it comes down to talent on the floor. And they have the talent. I'm not telling you they don't have the talent. I think the bigger thing is they got to figure out who they are at the end of these games and what they want to do. This is an ongoing thing here now. This is too many games in a row.
It's so a clown show at the end.
Their inability to close.
Yes. It's and I think there's, you know, and I use this term, it's a cliche, but I think that they need to find an identity for what they are at the end of these games. How's it going to work? What's it going to look like? Because it feels like every game's a little different and that they don't know what the hell they're doing or they can't settle on it. So who's getting the ball and what are they going to run at the end of the game? Or what are the options? And I don't feel like they – I don't think that that is clear on this team, and it's got to be clear. In Miami, it's clear.
Okay, well, don't they want to – I mean, isn't it Tatum and Kemba Walker and that's it? And that's the way they're going to play it. And Miami, it's clear-ish, Maz, but at the same time, we say about the Heat, they spread the ball better, they pass the ball better, they had more assists last night, they cut to the hoop better, they move better, and they kept that moving in more key spots, which helped them. So, but yet they do isolate every once in a while with Jimmy Butler.
Sure.
And they did in the key spots. So there's a mix of both there. With the Celtics, if they're spreading the ball and Marcus Smart's taking the last shot, aren't we saying, why the hell is Marcus Smart taking the last shot when Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker are out there?
Maybe. Yep. No, we are. Not maybe. It all depends on whether he makes it.
Not the way that Marcus Smart's been shooting, though. Like, I actually, again, at the end of regulation, it's one of the reasons I hated it. Like, I don't know, pass the ball around. Find Smart. Like, Smart's been your best shooter here for a while. I know that sounds crazy. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I am, because Tatum was ice cold at the end of that game.
See, I don't have a problem with the ball being in Tatum's hands there at the end. I don't. I didn't love the shot.
Just sitting out there dribbling from 27 feet and then shooting out there is just atrocious.
I mean, if you're going to do that, you better make it.
It's atrocious.
You better make it. So, again, I want the ball in Tatum's hands at the end of the game. I think that's the right choice. I think sometimes they pick Kemba, and I think Stevens wants them to do something different, and they haven't settled on something that works. So call it whatever you want. Like, I'm not telling you that I'm totally against the one-on-one if you get the right guy, but I'm not sure Tatum is entirely there yet. And you know, they're clearly not moving the ball at the end of these games.
They shouldn't have lost that game. And they shouldn't lose to this team. They're more talented than this team. That's still my takeaway. I'm watching that game. It went 53 minutes with the overtime. And as I said to you before, I think the Celts were the better team for probably 40 of those 53 minutes. They were in control throughout. You know, the Heat went on that run in the second quarter and got the lead, but you got it right back before half and then smushed them in the third. You're up 14 points in the third quarter. You're up 14 points. You're up 7 with just over 6 minutes left. You're up 6 with 3.5 minutes left. You're up 5 with just over a minute left.
5 with a minute to go.
Plus 5 with 109 left. And so you have all these situations to close the door and you can't after that series against the Raptors where you couldn't. Certainly there were some defensive lapses. I'm not saying you're totally absolved on that side of the ball, but I think it's more of an offensive thing. And I think it is a carryover from Toronto where you didn't score a basket in the last 5 minutes of Game 7 against Toronto. I don't think you closed on the Raptors. I think you hung on against the Raptors, and it was more the same last night. It was actually better last night. You actually got some baskets late. They just bettered you. And so I just think you have more. You've got more in the holster than Miami does. And if you play to your capability, you should beat that team, and you should have won last night. And so don't lose because what? You're not as tough, or you're not as smart, or you're not as clutch, or you're not as well coached. Right, that's going to be a real crappy way to lose. We can all accept losing to someone better than you. But losing for one of those other reasons? Let me ask you, if you could only have one coach out of this series, who are you taking?
Right now I'm leaning Spoelstra.
Same here.
Why?
Because of the discipline that Miami is playing with, particularly on the offensive end. To me, what I see a Miami doing on the offensive end is downright clinical. I mean, that's where I see the coaching more than anything else, and particularly with the cutting. They have guys constantly moving. The angles are constantly changing. There's always an opening to get someone else the ball. Now, look, they have shooters. I got, you know, so some of it's the personnel. But I'm telling you, the way the ball moves, to me, a lot of that is it feels like Spoelstra. And I also think he's pretty disciplined with his rotation. I mean, he's protecting Butler a little bit. He's not, you know, keeping him on the floor too long. And when I say protecting him, I mean not letting him play 45 minutes a night. And not that Stevens is choosing that per se, because I think the Celtics have some limitation there with their bench. But the big thing for me is the offense. That thing is clinical.
Yeah, that half-court offense, the ball is always moving. And the buy-in factor, too. And I go back to a play you mentioned earlier, Micah. This is where it's like, wow, this wouldn't happen with Jay Crowder on the Celtics. Crowder's wide open for a three. It might have been late in the fourth or overtime, but Crowder's wide open for a three, and then he sees Jimmy Butler at the last second, and he actually passed it. I figured, oh, Crowder's going to throw up a brick here and bone the Heat, and he didn't. And he actually did the smart play. Like, that doesn't happen in
for
the past.
Easy dunk. And that... So I agree with you, but I think you play that way too. Until crunch time, and then you're sort of stuck between this thing. I think Maz is right to say, do we want to just put the ball in the hands of our best player or two players and let them go win the game, or do we want to run a set and share the ball and the open guy takes a shot? So what are we?
Yeah, I don't think they figured that out yet. And I think they're all, and again, I think Stevens wants him to be something. The players think it's going to be something else. Some of that's experience. But with Miami, when they do decide to go to ISO, it's clearly Butler. There's no gray area there. And I just think that offense is a freaking, that is a how-to video, that Miami offense.
So, to me, I'm sort of torn a little bit too. I mean, I think you can take, if you've got Tyler Hero one-on-one, you should take him. You should take that little kid, a rookie Milwaukee boy. You should take him down. So, like, at that point, and oh, by the way, Kemba Walker did a couple of those key situations at the end of the game, and he hit. And those were plays and shots he had to hit, and he did. He did. He gave the lead with under 24 seconds left going against Tyler Hero. So that had to happen, and he did. But, so, I mean, where's the balance there, though? And Stevens talked about it after the game. Too many possessions, guys pounding the ball, meaning just sitting out there on the perimeter and dribbling. And hunting out that matchup versus sharing the ball. Ainge was on with Toucher and Rich this morning. Again, catch the full interview at 98.5thesportshub.com or on the app. And I thought he talked about it well, too, Jimmy. Let's play that. Danny Ainge on this balance of just going one-on-one versus playing their offense. Go.
No, it wasn't drawn up that way. At the same time, I think that we are trying to exploit matchups, but I think that nobody wants to do it as much as we did it. I think that the game looked like we fatigued it looked like we were trying to use clock when we had the 14-point lead. We put it in slow down motion. That's always just hard to change momentum. The team that's down 14 is trying to speed the game up, and the team that's up 14 is trying to slow the game down. And it's always a danger. I've seen it throughout this playoffs and playoffs of the past. It's a danger of when to slow the game down and knowing when to do it and when not to, when to keep the gas on the pedal and foot on the gas and just keep going to the hole and trying to get fouled. And Miami did a much better job. They got us into the penalty with 7.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and I knew we were in trouble at that point. And they were much more the aggressors. And it's dangerous when you have good offensive players like Kemba and Jason to just try to get a matchup and have them exploit that matchup. A lot of teams do that. And, you know, Miami did a better job of maintaining pace than we did.
Okay, it's tough finding that balance, and I get everything that he's saying there.
Yeah, they're stuck. They're sort of stuck in between at the end of the game.
So you have that lead, you have the clock, so you just sit out there in the perimeter pounding the ball into the floor to get the shot clock down. Now you have a one-on-one matchup versus Tyler Hero. You take it, and that's how you're going to win the game. It doesn't sound that stupid, right?
No, it's not.
But it takes them out of their offense. So he says, we want to exploit the matchups, but no one wants to do it as much as we did it last night.
Right, which he's telling you is we get away from it. We started getting into Hero ball and playing selfishly. And look, the big thing with Kemba is he can beat Hero off the dribble. He can beat Dragic off the dribble. He's got to make those shots, though, and he's not making them.
Kemba problem, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And so he's on the clock for me. I've been a big Kemba Walker guy, big from day one. If he and they don't turn it around, then I'm going to have to admit it's something Maz never does, which is I'm wrong on a basketball take. But we'll see. There's still time. But I don't like the trend line with Kemba Walker.
I admit it. I was wrong about Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, so that's all our reset takes. What are yours? Right to you, I promise, after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep 2 or 3 things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Butler downhill on Tatum. Into traffic. Got it! And one! Clutch time, Dane County. Jimmy Butler delivering.
Yet again, the Miami Heat in the paint. And Jimmy Butler, again, has taken 68% of his shots from right in that area. He is relentless, gets the angle and the step on Tatum, takes the contact and scores it. 48-26, the advantage in the paint, and the Heat bench is like, yes, sir, that's our closer.
Now Tatum trying to get space. Tatum all the way in. Tatum blocked at the rim by Bam! What a block by Bam! As Tate went in to slam it down, and Bam said, not a chance here in Orlando.
So that's the end of the game. The two game-winning plays by the Heat. I have no problem with the Celtics on any of that. There's really nothing to second-guess there, even if you want to dial it back to the play before, which was Kemba Walker taking Tyler Hero into the lane and hitting that step back with 23 left. So the last 3 trips, you know, 2 for you, 1 for them, you all did the right thing. Kemba Walker has to beat Tyler Hero there off the dribble. He doesn't settle for a 3. He's not pounding the ball into the floor. He's taking a guy he should beat into the lane and beating him. You go up 1. Then Jimmy Butler with just a man's man kind of play. Just a man's man's kind of play. Jason Tatum defends him well. I don't even think he fouled him, by the way. But Butler just won that matchup, and then what an incredible block by Bam Adebayo.
Tremendous play.
I have no second-guessing the Celtics or anyone with any of that. My issue is plus 14, plus 6, plus 5 with 109 left. I mean, this is a commonality. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're talking about the ability to execute, make the right decision, and execute the play at a critical time, and they haven't been able to do it. And so, to me, they got to figure that one out because that's their undoing. Mike, and look, just quickly, for all that we talked about today and we'll continue to talk about, it was an overtime game. They lost by 3.
Yeah, which tells you how much better they really are.
Right. I mean, in other words, it's not like they lost by 18. You know, so it's right there. I just think that this series is going to be like this the whole way.
Okay, back to your phones. Here's Connor in New Hampshire. Go.
Yeah, sorry, guys. So with Kemba, I mean, the biggest concern is that we're talking not just one or two games now. We're talking 4 straight games of just being ice cold and, furthermore, an ability to close. There's no Paul Pierce on this team, and for $30 million a year, you got to be a guy who can close. So I think they're in real trouble if he doesn't figure it out here in game 2.
So, again, you're saying Kemba Walker, right? So
I'm saying Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker closed. Kemba Walker closed-ish. He closed. He did. He scored his points in the fourth quarter.
When he was putting them up, did you feel good about
it? No, and I think he sucked. I think he's been a big problem. But the closing thing, you know, even the Toronto series, the previous caller a couple hours ago was right to bring it up. You know, the game 3 loss, that, you know, epic shot by,
Anunoby.
Yeah, Anunoby and Adebayo, like, that's confusing. But that half second, you know, 3-point prayer was preceded by Kemba Walker with an all-time pass to Daniel Tice with half a second left to what should have won you that game. And last night, he hit a couple free throws with 3.5 minutes left after drawing a foul to give you a 6-point lead. He hit a shot in the lane in overtime to give you a lead. He hit that shot with 23 seconds left in regulation to give you the lead.
I mean, he had a 24-second violation in there.
Okay, he did. He also got blocked by Jay Crowder and the 24-second clock ran out. But he came through in enough of those situations that if you held on the other side, so he did close. I'm just parsing words. Overall, he sucked. He's got to be better.
Yeah, it's just he's not it's a problem right now because he's not reliable. And they need him to. The whole point of the Celtics at the end of these games is supposed to have multiple guys to defend throughout the game, not just at the end. And right now they don't have it.
Ryan in North Carolina. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Big second guess for Stevens is that challenge. So it's an unwinnable challenge. There's no way you win it. You lose a timeout, and then they can't advance the ball at the last seconds of the game. And then one more thing on Spoelstra at the first quarter interview. He said, we'll get that corrected. We'll fix it. And what did they do? They fixed it. Thanks.
Okay, Maz, you're nodding your head on the challenge.
Because the challenge was horrible. I wrote it down at the time. You had zero chance of that thing getting turned.
Zero.
That was the block, right?
He doesn't have a feel for these challenges.
No, he doesn't. And you know what I think? That after Washburn wrote the column he wrote the other day and said, you got to take a gamble on some of these plays and don't save those timeouts, Stevens took a gamble and blew the timeout and they needed it. As it turned out, they needed the timeout this time. So he does. He's searching a little there, too. I'm glad the caller brought that up because we hadn't touched on that.
Jim in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was thinking about Jaylen Brown. He had a beautiful tip-in in the fourth quarter. Other than that, does anybody even remember him receiving a pass from the second half of the fourth quarter on through overtime?
No, but, I mean, I feel like this is an over-analysis. I don't ever come out of a game saying, boy, I wish Jaylen Brown shot more. Like, I don't know, we've reached that point? Or is it just...
I mean, his offensive game has stepped up so much this season, especially down in the bubble up until lately. I do. I thought he sucked last night. That tip-in play was nice. The caller's right. But other than that, I thought he was a nothing.
It's not about Brown. It's about the offense. Symptomatic, right? If he's not touching the ball, it's not moving. I'd say the same thing about Marcus Smart. Did Marcus Smart touch the ball a lot in the fourth quarter?
No.
Didn't feel like it.
No.
So again, Smart had one assist in the game. One. Like, when I saw that tag, I went, whoa. And I think that that's because the offense wasn't running enough through him. And say what you want about Smart. Like, none of us wants to see him put up 30 shots a night. But he's got a good feel for the offense, and he sees passing lanes and makes good decisions generally. Sometimes he gets a little too cute with the behind-the-back passes and all that bull crap. But generally speaking, he facilitates the offense well. So, to me, that again, I look at those as symptoms of what the problem is, the ball's not moving.
Kevin's down on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Maz. How you doing?
Good.
I haven't heard it mentioned today, and I've been watching very carefully. When Jason Tatum went up with about the 27-footer at the end of regulation, did anyone notice Marcus Smart's guy stepped up, really clearly up, and Smart was wide open?
So
you talk about elite players, and Jason Tatum isn't there yet, but, you know, the elite players – make that pass.
Kevin, where was he open? Where was Marcus Smart open?
He was down in the baseline, right?
3-point in the corner?
No, not quite. He was inside that. And when the guy stepped up, Marcus Smart's man in the zone, because that's what they were.
Yep.
He was wide open, and if you saw the clock behind Tatum when they showed it again.
Kevin, let me ask you, and let me ask the panel. Thank you for the call, given this idea. Would you rather Jason Tatum from 27 feet or Marcus Smart from 15, 20?
Smart.
Tatum.
Okay, so like I think that's an easy second guess in hindsight. If Jason Tatum gave it up to Marcus Smart and Marcus Smart missed a shot at the buzzer, we'd all say, why are we having Marcus Smart shoot this last shot versus Jason Tatum?
You got to take it.
Okay, so to me, that's not a fair second guess. What's a fair second guess is, does it have to be from 27 feet?
That's my criticism of it.
I mean, come on. Jimmy Butler, when he needed it, took it to the hole. And I think, and this is, and if I'm going to be fair here, is this is not just a Celtics or Jason Tatum problem. I think the league lapses into this. And when Marcus Smart flopped and drew that extra free throw, and again, we're showing the still picture on the simulcaster. That's a great picture. That ain't 15 feet. He's on the lane.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's 5 feet. Well, he's right there. When that's 2.8 on the clock when he shot it, that's a great pitcher.
That shot is something, huh?
Okay, now, I believe that's Adebayo underneath the rim right there?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, with the white sleeves?
Yep.
So if you had passed it to Marcus Smart, he's got Adebayo to deal with. So let's not just pretend like that's an easy layup. But he was open, and it wasn't a jump shot. That was not even mid-range. That was close to a layup.
But you brought up
But hold on. Go ahead.
No, you bring up a good point, though. To me, it's about the 27-footer. That's what it's about. Jason Tatum can put the ball on the floor. He can do any one of a number of things. And you only need two to win.
Okay, but this is what the break I want to get. The whole league does this. The whole effing league does this. Because, I don't know, they all want their moment. They all want that sexy moment of shooting at the buzzer and having the ball go in at the buzzer and the walk-off. And so you see so many teams do this, Mass. Just dribble the ball down to 3 seconds left on the shot clock, and they huck it from wherever they're at just so they can shoot at the buzzer.
Okay, but again,
the Celtics aren't the only team that do that, and they also don't want to leave time for the opponent, which, like, I get. But that is chronic across the league, the bad shot at the buzzer when you're tied.
Okay, but does it have to be out there? Can it be?
Believe me, it's indefensible, but everyone does it.
Okay, but again, so this is my point, though, and we used this analogy earlier. Paul Pierce from the elbow. How many times did we see that with the Celtics? Over and over and over again. But Pierce went to his bread and butter. He went to a shot that was a high percentage shot for him.
Yes, well, the elbow's not 27 feet. You know, I mean, we'll accept that.
Right, and I would tell you that Pierce can make that shot in his sleep even with a guy on him. So you want to tell me, well, that's Tatum's bread and butter. I would tell you he's at best a 40% shooter from three-point land, and he's less when it's contested. So why isn't he taking something closer to the basket, either taking it to the hoop, or what if it's a pull-up 17-footer? What's wrong with that? I'll take that.
So again, the disconnect here and the problem is either Brad called that play, which he didn't, or he wanted something else and Tatum just took over and did it himself. But, you know, whatever the answer is there, it's bad. Either Brad wanted that or he didn't want it, and that's still what Tatum gave him. So we'll have one more segment of your wonderful phone calls right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brad, do you think that there may be some, the guys might be getting lulled into trying to hunt some of these mismatches, and that might be part of the reason why things go stagnant?
I'll look at it and get back to you.
Getting a little snippy.
That is so unlike him. It is just so unlike. He's the most polite guy in the world.
Again, you got a problem with the reporter or the question? Maybe, but I doubt it. I think you hit on it earlier, which is what?
Hit a nerve. hit a nerve because Steven sees it and it pisses him off because those jackasses out there on the floor aren't doing what he wants them to do. That's what it is. He says, look, if we get a mismatch, we'll go to it. But he doesn't want him doing it on every possession where it's two guys holding the ball and everybody else is standing around, you know, holding onto their shorts.
And here's the numbers behind it. B-Rob, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal just tweeted, the Celtics registered just one assist in the final 7 minutes and 51 seconds of game one.
And that's something they pride themselves on.
Right.
They pride themselves on that. They always have. That's like an organizational tenet. That goes back decades, for crying out loud.
Again, let me just give it to you. Key stats I thought in the game. Assists. Miami won the assist battle. Where was it? I just had it. 32 to 24. And only one for the Celtics in the last 7 minutes. That's a good point, Murray. So Miami won the assist battle 32 to 24 and three-point percentage. 44% for Miami, 35% for you. Miami, and that ain't going to change. I mean, I'm not telling you Miami's going to shoot almost 45% every night, but they're good out there. They got guys that can shoot.
Oh, and they pass extremely well. They find the open guy. So, Mike, again, do the math. 32 assists. They only made 40 buckets. I mean, they only had that tells you basically eight ISO buckets or fast break. You know, that's it. Everything else was off a pass. I mean, that's an absurdly high percentage. So this is what, you know, and the Celtics were the opposite. They made 39 shots, they had 24. It's like way too much. They need more. The ball's going to move more.
Okay, so this sort of leads me to the email of the day.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Yeah, you stink.
And I think Mez is a boo.
He's stupid.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
All right, the email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Ron writes in, subject line Brad Stevens. He says, the Celtics have one major problem, and that's their coach. Exchange coaches and the Celtics would have won. He's highly overrated. Just look at his record. Thoughts?
So Spoelstra's a good coach. Right now I feel like he's a better coach than Stevens is, but that doesn't mean Stevens sucks.
Okay, so overrated doesn't mean suck. Thank you. That's the answer I was searching for. A lot of you people overrate him.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yeah. But that doesn't mean he's good. But, you know, you just tell me what playoff series where he's made a difference.
Well, the other thing is, I've always said this, and my opinion isn't going to change unless there's some sort of dramatic event that triggers it. It's a players' league.
Yeah, but I tend to wonder, though, that...
Well, you have better players than this Heat team, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And you had better players than that Raptors team, and that thing was closer than it should have been. So what's closing the gap?
I wonder if... Because there's buy-in with the Heat, right? I know that's, you know, kind of vague, but there is. Like, just look at the way that they're, you know, that half-court offense runs and how they're always passing the ball, trying to find the right guy. I wonder if players look at Eric Spoelstra and say, well, that guy won with LeBron. We all know it was more about LeBron at that point when he was with the Heat, but I don't know. Maybe
he's got a ring on his finger.
Yeah,
right?
That rubs off on him a little bit. What's Brad Stevens done? So again, like with how that game devolved offensively for the Celtics late in the fourth into overtime, that's either how Brad wanted it, and based on that response, that snippy response to Adam Himmelsbach, I don't think that he did. So his star players just ignore him? Like that's not a good look. That's not that, and that falls on him too.
So I think he's won you regular season games. I think you've overachieved in some regular seasons, not this past one. But I think there's been some regular season win totals that have been higher because of him and his program. In the playoffs, I don't really see it. I don't see where it's made it. The only place it stands out is when you play the Sixers. Honestly, 2 years ago when you beat him in five, like I think Stevens pantsed Brett Brown, and this one, it wasn't even because I think the Sixers are trash and play garbage basketball, and you play, you know, much better team basketball, and it comes out in those Sixers series. Where else does it come out? Like, where else? Who have you beaten who you shouldn't have beaten where coaching has made the difference?
Nobody. Nobody. And again, you know how I feel. I'm not telling. I like Stevens as a coach. I think he's good. Now, is he the right guy to bring a team over the top? I don't know. We're going to figure that out. The Kyrie Irving experience did not go well. I mean, again, because a lot of it is managing egos and personalities, which you've noted in the past. And I think we all know. So, but do I think they need to fire him? No. I'm not there yet.
You don't know what to worry about that. He's got the extension. He's here forever.
Oh, no. I'm not, because I think you can do so much worse in this league, and
oh,
who knows?
God,
like,
please.
I mean, it's roulette, so the next guy you bring in is probably going to be worse based on the odds, unless you're, you know, signing Greg Popovich or something like that.
Which is something to consider. I don't know.
Well, look, you know, to me, that's one.
Someone to take him over the top.
Yeah, just someone that's got the cred, right? And it can be a player, too. I mean, it can be a veteran player who's got some rings. And then all of a sudden, everybody looks at him a little bit differently. I think that's what they were trying to do with Kyrie, but he's an a-hole.
But this is not even a conversation because they just keep extending him. You know, never mind this other thing. Let's wrap it up with your call. Zach in Milford. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, so all the second guessing at the end of the game, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I think we made a lot of good points with the missed challenge. You know, Tatum could have passed it out. But the overall impact and frustration of this game really, guys, boils down to all these big leads that they just salted away. We're going to move the ball. We're going to exploit the matchups. I like that. I think Stevens is going to find a little bit of creativity at the end of the game.
So hold on. You just contradicted yourself. Are you exploiting matchups or are you moving the ball?
Right.
Because if you're exploiting matchups and Tyler Hero's on the ball, then the guy who has the ball is keeping the ball and shooting it over Tyler Hero. That's exploiting the matchups. Moving the ball is finding the open guy and who's ever open shoots it, Grant Williams. So what is it? Which one do you want?
So, again, it depends on the point of the game. I think this is sort of the lesson that depending on where you are in the game, you're either moving at a faster pace or you're slowing it down and going ISO. And it feels to me like Ainge wanted them to keep moving the ball there in the early and middle part of the fourth quarter, and they went into ISO mode way too early.
Who was Tatum on the final, on the end of regulation shot? Is the kid that came off the bench, right?
Yeah, Jones, I think. Wasn't
it? He didn't get a ton of minutes, but he got a little bit of run in there, and I think that was him.
Yeah.
So
Derek Jones.
Okay, so it's like, okay, Jason Tatum, you can take Derek Jones. Fine, I don't need to move the ball there. You take Derek. Is Derek Jones, is he the rookie? No, that's
no.
The other
you're
kid.
Thinking about Kendrick Nunn.
Thank you. It's not Nunn. Okay, so either way, yeah, take him. Take that guy. You're better than him. Take him. So then, take him.
Right, make it.
Take him off the dribble. Get him into a spot that he can't defend. You know, don't just give up and shoot from where you're standing. Like, that, again, is the second guess.
You know, the more that I think about it, I think what the Celtics are focused on, listening to Ainge's comments, are, you know, the end of the game is tough for everybody. We should have never let it get to that, right? That how do we lose that lead by going into a shell and playing ISO when we should be moving the ball and extending the lead? I think that's what he's saying.
That is the issue. Billy in Rhode Island, hi.
How you doing? I'll be quick. You know, I know Tatum's a great player, and he plays great. We use great a lot of times, but let's match that up with Jordan all the time. But anyway, that's a side remark. The thing is, at the end of the game, they give it to Tatum, but he starts getting double-teamed. As soon as he gets double-teamed, he's thinking how he is going to make something happen to win the game. Pass the ball at the end of the game. These guys got to get involved so they can shoot the ball and not be intimidated shooting it.
Okay,
hey, Billy, what if the open guy is Daniel Tice on a 12-footer?
Exactly. Grant Williams from the three-point line. I mean, so right, exactly.
So this is, you know, this is where the player's got to make a decision. And at the end of the day, in that spot, I don't mind the ball in Tatum's hands.
Okay.
I have a bigger issue with the shot he took.
But it's also like, again, the style, the giving in from that shot. I mean, Washburn in the Globe, you know, called him out for something like this. He said, Tatum can't get too caught up in his own superstardom. He is worthy of all the accolades he's received, but he can also set up his teammates when he realizes the defense is focused on him. A drive and pass may have won the Celtics the game in regulation, but he did exactly what the Heat wanted. He settled for low percentage. Meanwhile, Butler attacked the rim and got the hoop and the call. It should serve as a sobering lesson for the Celtics.
I hope so.
Yeah, see, to me, it's not, again, it's not that Tatum had the ball and they whittled down the clock. It's where he took it from. 27 feet. What are you doing?
I just wonder about the style points. Like, Jimmy Butler is just fine winning the game at the line.
Yeah.
He did in the last round.
Totally.
You know?
And so this is the thing. The way that Tatum, like, hung in the air, the way he let it, it's like, are you just waiting for, like, this moment? You want this to be, like, a video that...
To put on your Gatorade commercial.
...lives forever? Like,
exactly.
There was something about it. Oh, it irked the hell out of me.
And I feel that a lot of guys do that. They want that moment. They want that shot. They want, and, you know, where I think Jimmy Butler is just fine getting mugged and going to the line, and it's not a highlight. They won a game against the Bucks in that exact... He didn't get mugged. He was barely touched, but he won the game at the line. He doesn't care.
No, it's true. Again, and maybe this factors into taking it from behind the line. What's wrong with an 18-footer? What's wrong with that? Tatum could shoot right over a guy from 18 feet, and that should be a freaking layup for him. You know, that should be automatic. He's shooting over a guy at that distance. That should be easy.
And again, just in closing on Butler, if you have not noticed the look in his eye, did you see it last night? That's all I will say. So if you were, you know, heretofore not up on how well Jimmy Butler is playing and his motivation and the look in his, you know, the look on his kisser, you saw it last night. And if that doesn't concern you a little bit, then I'm sorry. I don't know what you're watching.
Yeah, the Butler did it.
Final word comes your way next on that note.
Boston's home for sports. Zilger and Mez, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, the real final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats
Nobody.
Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
No nope.
All right. A very Celtic-centric show today, which means we wanted to hear from you, the people, to bitch about last night's loss. But didn't really work out that well in terms of the calls, as you'll see here.
Jack in the car. Go ahead, Jack. Jack!
Yep.
Hey, folks, you know, I'm sorry. Where were you just there? Get ready to go. We got a ton of calls. You want to go? Go. Paul and Saugus, go.
Hey, guys. Call 4 years in the making here, but I think it's time to talk about it. And that's when Danny Ash took the second best player.
Can anyone hear a word that he sang? Pat in Vermont, go.
Who cares?
Hey, guys. How's it going? So, I'm wondering if Brad Stevens is going to kind of morph into sort of like
no.
a Bill Belichick.
No, I don't think that's it. I don't think it's... Close your window next time.
Teach me to be mean, Bill. Gee willikers.
Carl in Fort Lauderdale, your thoughts? Carl! Again, folks, you're going to take the time to call and wait online. Be ready to go. Matt in Chelmsford, hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. What do you got?
Not too much. Maz, I got to tell you, I know you're not a big NBA fan. I can tell just by listening to you, but a 14-point lead with a full quarter to go in an NBA game is not a huge lead.
Come on.
Every time they have a lead, he says something like, but Mike, they were up six with like 38 minutes to go in the game. He talks about how they had a lead. And it's not that big of a lead. That could be an 8-point game in 30 seconds.
Okay, Matt, so what about a lead they had against Toronto?
You're 20 seconds out of the quarter. Okay,
Danny Ainge mentioned the 14-point lead this morning. You think he's an idiot, too?
Kelly Olynyk in front of Giannis, so that's...
good point.
Good answer. Yeah.
Matt, you redeemed yourself a little bit there.
Yeah. There good answer.
Touché.
Very good answer.
He did redeem himself.
Yeah. No, totally. I put me right in my place. Yeah, totally. He's 100% right.
Wednesday during the football season means Paul Perillo of Patriots.com, which means the singing of Sunshine Day. Here
so
it is.
Bad.
Dry.
Jeez.
Here we go.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now.
The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
Want some munchkins?
I gotta get out. Get me some of those rays.
Woo! How about a crawl?
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day.
Donuts.
Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today.
I got a cheeseburger instead.
It's a sunshine day.
Vicious. Just an assault on Pauly Perillo.
That is just mean.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.